The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Revolution is sponsored by Burger King, Bahamas Bus and Truck, J.S. Johnson, Fidelity Bank Bahamas, Ron's Electric Motors, Commonwealth Bank, and Popeyes.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to The Revolution here on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. My name is Juan McCartney. So good to have you with us. Today, we're going to actually do the exercise of assessing the first 4 years of the Minnis administration, particularly since he's commenting on it. Notwithstanding the Prime Minister's penchant for saying nonsensical things, we are going to try to critically assess what he said, and then I want you to give me your idea of where you think the Minnis administration is and what you think of it so far. All right, so you got two big factors. They're going to weigh into this, and that would be Dorian and the pandemic. So I expect that those are the crutches that you're going to lean on if you are in defense of what has not been done so far during this administration. And fair enough, we can examine the extent to which those things should actually impact national development and progression. And we'll talk about some of the pros and cons of the Minnis administration. From my point of view, and I want to hear from you, I'm going to try to, notwithstanding all the shenanigans that have taken place over the past few years, try to be a bit dispassionate about it and just assess it on the merits and not on the goofiness that has swirled around. So before I do that, I just want to remark that I see that the BUT says that they want the government, it wants the government to close schools in New Providence and revert to virtual learning. Okay. President Belinda Wilson also urged the same for Family Islands, where case numbers are growing. She wants a revised workable plan by the ministry, a reduction of the hours of in-person learning, if they're not going to close the school, and a reduction in the number of students who'll be participating in face-to-face learning. If any, she says, if you're going to have face-to-face, let the students of grade 9 and 12, let them sit their examinations, or you could grade them on a predicted basis, I guess, where they are now. You could give them the grade for the BTC for where they are now, and then let them actually sit. The exam at a later time. Okie dokie. Now. So, I don't care at this point, okay? So I've reverted into a place of complete selfishness and self-centeredness where I'm concerned about my needs and all that's happened through the pandemic. As I've tried to speak on the national interest, I've grown wary with people telling me everything's fine. So y'all do what y'all gotta do, eh? My kids closed their school and I'm dealing with it. You're gonna have lots of kids who, if you close the schools, are not going to be fed properly, who are not going to be educated, who are not going to have access to internet, who are gonna miss the schools, who will be more subject to abuse. You have kids whose parents have now gone back to work and they won't be able to monitor or watch their children, and so you'll probably have even more children not log on to the virtual learning platform. But go ahead, close the schools. Do whatsoever you wish. I would ask that you leave the liquor store open so that those of us who need to can find comfort in alcohol, while clearly the progression of the entire human race must come to a screeching, grinding halt for more than a year now because of the pandemic. Everything as we know it must end. Great. All right. Let's read this story. PM, we lost 3 years to crises. You need to go find them then. You lost the years? They didn't happen? Okay. This is by Rachel Scott. On the fourth anniversary of the Free National Movement's sweeping election victory, Prime Minister Dr. Hubert Minnis said yesterday his government lost 3 years of its term to disasters and crises as he defended its performance to date. Now, as I said, he says stuff that doesn't make sense a lot. And I'm going to try to ignore that and try to somehow get to the logic behind the nonsensical thing he's saying. So let's do it. He says, when we came in year one, we were faced with Hurricane Irma and we inherited a disastrous economy. Okay. He said, when we came in year one, we were faced with Hurricane Irma, and we inherited a disastrous economy. So you came in May 2017, and Irma occurred in September of 2017. Damaged some properties on Acklands, flattened Ragged Island, didn't touch any of the rest of the Bahamas. So we came in year one. We're faced with Hurricane Irma. No. Irma should not have lost you a year. You, in fact, did not get to Ragged Island until 3 years after that, when you had went and promised a green city. I'm trying to be fair here. Hurricane Irma. Your entire government lost a year because of Hurricane Irma. Okay. I don't buy that. And we inherited a disastrous economy. Did you inherit a disastrous economy? So let me ask you this, since you're the Minister of Finance, define disastrous economy for me, because last I checked, there was economic growth in the first year of your administration, and you came into office in May, and there was economic growth in the first year. That's so the economy was not disastrous Perhaps what you meant to say was you inherited a perilous government finance situation or a disastrous government financial situation, but you certainly did not inherit a disastrous economy, because if I do remember correctly, it was your Minister of Tourism, Dina Sotiaghler, who bragged about record numbers of tourists in 2017 and again in 2018. So the economy wasn't disastrous. Further to that, if the economy was disastrous, then what accounts for your prescription to increase consumption tax the following year? So neither of those things is true, that you lost a year because of Hurricane Irma and you inherited a disastrous economy. You may have lost a year talking about who you're going to put in jail. You might have lost a year talking about how corruption was the biggest problem in the Bahamas, the number 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 problem. You might have lost a year unearthing all what you claim was misfeasance by the Christie administration, tabling bills that you failed to debate years later. That perhaps had cost you a year, but okay. You say year one, you were faced with Irma and a disastrous economy, so I don't buy that. In year two, we were faced with Dorian. When did Dorian happen? I'm confused. Year two, are you saying year two you were faced with Dorian to mean no, May 2017 to May 2018, that's 1 year. May 2018 to May 2019, that's 2 years. That was year two. Dorian happened in September, the first week of September in 2019. So Dorian happened halfway through year three. Year two, we were faced with Dorian. Was he here with us when Dorian happened? He was here, right? I was in Canada. I was trapped in Canada when Dorian happened. I'm pretty sure I watched the Prime Minister here in September 2019, the third year of his administration, not the second year of his administration. So you had 2.5 years. Don't tell me Irma, because Irma didn't impact your GDP. It impacted some folk on Ragged Island. And you didn't move on Irma for 3 years. And Dorian happened midway through your third year in office. Did Dorian crush the entire Bahamas? My understanding is that the projection was Dorian would have impacted government revenue by 20% that fiscal year. And Dorian impacted large swaths of Abaco and a significant portion of Grand Bahama. But the rest of the Bahamas was still up and going. Year three, and we're going on to four, we were faced with COVID. Do I not know how to count? Is it me? Can I not count in linear years? Because the pandemic started in March of 2020, right? So that was the end of the third year. Yes? Let me go through it. 2017, May 2017 to May 2018, that's 1 year. May 2018 to May 2019, that's 2 years. The third year would have been May 2019 to May 2020. So we caught a piece of the third year with the pandemic. You caught a few months of the third year with the pandemic. Fair enough. And going on to four, we were faced with COVID. That's what he said. All right, so he says, in other words, we had three challenges. So we had to decide whether you just stop and deal with the catastrophic problems. Wait, there's one of my F&M friends. This says, wait, let me see what the F&M logic is. 2019 would be year two. How you figure that? The middle of 2019 would be year two. Right? The third year is when Dorian happened. Y'all got to count with me now. Count. I know I've been to school. I know I got my diploma from Kingsway Academy. Right? I got my math BGCSE and my BJC and my SAT now. I know I could add and subtract. So I'm so sorry. Dorian didn't happen in the second year. All right. Now, you caught piece of the pandemic in the third year, I'll give you that. But I'm just doing this so we could establish reality here, where we are, all right, and understand his reasoning. In other words, we had three challenges, so we had to decide whether you just stop and deal with the catastrophic problems, or are you a true government and run two parallel tracks? One track to deal with the catastrophic problems that we face, and another track to still move the country forward. We kept on course with moving the country forward. Okay, so here's my question. Did you have a choice? You have to decide whether you just stop and deal with the catastrophic problems. So the entire country should have stopped to deal with the aftermath of Dorian on Abaco and Grand Bahama. And if I do recall, just about the entire country did stop for most of the months, the majority of the months that we dealt with the pandemic, but things did continue in other venues. But my point is, you don't really have a choice but to keep going. You can't just say, let's shut it all down. I don't know if that's a great argument, but I'm trying to assess these things critically. This says, are we quoting him here? On the campaign trail, Minnis promised accountable and transparent governance and the legislation to ensure it, but 4 years in, a number of those promises remain unfulfilled, including the legislation to create an integrity commission, to implement term limit for the prime minister, and to introduce fixed election dates, as well as local government reform. When pressed on those issues yesterday, Minnis said he still believes them to be important, but his government has been limited by external factors. He said, I'm still a strong advocate for term limits for prime ministers. I am still a strong advocate that no prime minister should go beyond 2 terms, 10 years, that is still coming. I am still a strong advocate for fixed election dates. That's still coming. But as I've said, priorities had to be shifted because we had 3 years of destruction. We could have totally ignored the destruction and just stick to your program. But if you did that, your country would be a disaster. We could have concentrated only on the catastrophic problems we face, but then what happens? Your country stagnates, it doesn't move. We had to run two parallel tracks to ensure that we dealt with the catastrophic problems and ensure that we dealt with the growth, development, and expansion of the country. It was impossible to deal with all of what we promised within that 1 year, but be assured that all will be done. Okay. Minnis said his government was focused on a 4-phase plan to make the Bahamian dream accessible to more people. He highlighted changes made to improve access to education, housing, employment, and healthcare. All right, before we get into that, let's get into what he said just now. You're still a strong advocate for term limits. You're still a strong advocate. No prime minister should go beyond 10 years. You're still a strong advocate for fixed election dates. That's still come in, but as I said, priorities had to be shifted because we had 3 years of destruction. 3 years of destruction, did you? Okay. Now, could the fixed election date not have run on the same parallel track as the economic commercial enterprise bill? Could the term limit for prime minister not have run on the same track as the debate to lease the post office to a company partly owned by a sitting cabinet member? That was priority, not term limits, not local government, not fixed election dates. Fixed election dates would be nice. I don't see how that's workable with the Constitution the way it is. I'd have to do a bit more research to see if that is a non-entrenched provision of the Constitution. I would highly doubt that it's not. Term limit for prime ministers, I don't have a issue with that per se. I don't see how that is also workable without a constitutional amendment. But I don't buy that you couldn't have done those things. I think that you shifted priorities because they weren't important to you any longer. Not that they were unable to get done along with other things any longer. He highlighted changes made to improve access to education, housing, employment, and healthcare. We had stated that what we want to do is ensure that each and every Bahamian is entitled to partake in what we term the Bahamian dream. That was four components. The first component was free education for all college students. We accomplished that. It was never done before. Also part of that was free education at BTVI. We accomplished that. Free education at BAMSI. We accomplished that. All right. He said we want to introduce free education for preschool. We accomplished that. Okay, let's look at it. Free education for UB. I'm going to give you that. It was largely free before. Free being euphemistic in terms of there's still fees associated, books, etc. It's not totally, totally free, but tuition is free. All right, at UB, I'm going to give you that. Free education at BTVI, I'm going to give you that. Free education at BAMSI, I'm going to give you that too. Free education for preschool, you started that. That's not fully implemented. That's not universal yet, but you have set it as a priority, and that's a good thing. And so I give you credit for starting along that track. Minnis continued, then we looked at phase two. So phase one was free education. All right. Then we looked at phase two. In spite of the challenges we had, we looked at phase two. Every Bahamian wants to own a home or land. The Prime Minister noted housing developments on Carmichael Road and Prospect Ridge, New Providence, as well as plans for family islands as integral parts of the second component of the plan. While noting that creating employment, the third component of the plan, has been impacted by the COVID-19 pandemic, Minnis said he believes his government has managed the pandemic and vaccination rollout process well. Okay. Okay. I'm gonna let you weigh on that one. Minnis said he believes his government has managed the pandemic and vaccination rollout process well. Let me ask you this. I have a serious question. Can somebody answer this for me? What is required of travelers who are fully vaccinated to receive a health visa? Does anybody know? Do the Americans get a nice yellow card like we get? Can we verify the authenticity of that? Are their names in a database somewhere? Do they receive a QR code that can be uploaded? Do they show proof of dates of vaccination, or what is required? I'm asking now. What is required to prove that they are fully vaccinated? All right. Maybe someone knows. Minnis said employment is increasing as the economy continues to open. Component three, he said, is jobs. We were successful in terms of implementing a vaccination program. They implemented a vaccination program. That did happen. It had some hiccups, but it did happen. I will say that. We have managed what we thought was done well, the COVID pandemic that we've seen throughout the world, and now we're slowly opening up our economy. I've had discussions with some of the medical professionals already, and there's a possibility. I'm not saying that it will happen, but there's a possibility that all family islands, excluding New Providence and Grand Bahama, will have the curfew removed. So we're opening up the economy. The jobs are returning. That's phase three. Finally, he said his administration has been working to improve healthcare infrastructure throughout the country. We are advancing the national health program, and we're moving through all the family islands, upgrading our health infrastructure, ensuring that all the personnel is there. Minnis said the government is also working on reintroducing telemedicine. Oh, man, if I have 10 minutes to talk about telemedicine again. So we are well on our way in spite of the challenges, in spite of losing 3 years. 4 years in power and you lose three? Irma, Dorian, and COVID. The economy sank by 30%. Dorian cost $2.5 billion in destruction. In spite of all that, we moved on two parallel tracks to rebuild the Bahamas, and we have a lot more to go. All right. I don't agree with his math there. Oh, there's an official, someone sent me an official document. Vaccinated. WAP. We get, the Americans get one of these? This is nice. You get your QR code? Oh, this is very nice. What does this get you? Can you go dine? Can you go, what do you get to do with this? This is quite fancy. I'm impressed. What do the Americans have? Once you get the full vaccination, you turn in the yellow card and you get one of these. You seen this? Look at this. It's fancy, buddy. You get your QR code. They can scan you. They got you now. Yeah, fake it. Who reads this? What is it? Is there a reader they have at certain places to read it? That's very nice. I'm impressed. All right. So Minnis says healthcare. All right, family island upgrading and our health infrastructure. Okay, so they've done a nice refurbishment of much of the RAND that recently opened, which is good. I give him credit for that, as well as Dr. Dwayne Sands, who he so foolishly allowed to resign last year during the pandemic. He lost four cabinet ministers, too. He didn't say that. The upgrades throughout the rest of the family islands, you'd have to key me into some of those. I'm not aware of major upgrades on Eleuthera, Exuma, the Abaco clinic, I understand, is still mashup. So I'm not aware. All right. And I saw that they had a nice, they've done some really good ward refurbishments at Princess Margaret. So I do give them that. The facade has changed. I haven't seen the inside, but I understand the inside is supposed to change too. Of the accident emergency area, it looks much nicer, much more updated. Like I said, I seen a lot of Duroc there. I don't know if that's going to hold up. If, you know, God forbid another hurricane comes. But that's what the Prime Minister said. So some of it I can agree with him on. Some of it I don't. I think he's making excuses for certain things. Okay? Let's take a break, and we'll be back. I see lots of your comments. We'll read them, and we'll dig into it on the other side of this break.
At Ron's Electric Motors, they repair and rewind all major brands of electric motors, including water pumps, generators, and generators back end, welding machines, electric lifts, air compressors, battery chargers, and more. They're equipped to handle up to 850 kilowatts and rewind up to 450 horsepower motors. They're conveniently located on the corner of Wolf and Clarence Roads and are open weekdays 8 a.m. to 5 p.m., Saturdays till noon. They offer 24 hours emergency assistance. You can reach them at 242-356-0249.
Hurricane season runs until November 30th. The Insurance Commission of the Bahamas encourages homeowners to be prepared. Review your insurance coverage today. Check your policy limit. Is it enough to rebuild your home? Have you accounted for everything you own and how much it's worth? Do you know the percentage of the hurricane or storm deductible in your policy? What disasters does your policy cover? For more information on how to prepare for hurricane season, visit www.icb.gov.bs.
Calling all Primo fans! Marco's Pizza's got a new special. That's right, the Trio Deal was made just for you. Enjoy one large, one topping pizza, cheesy bread, and a 2-liter soda for just $20. At Marco's Pizza, we're all about quality. That's why we make our dough fresh every day. Our specials are hot, delicious, and affordable. Three items, just $20. Order your Trio Deal today on our website, marcospizzabahamas.com. Marco's, every store, every day, the Italian way. Hello, Primo.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to The Revolution here on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. My name is Juan McCartney. We're assessing 4 years of the Minnis administration, and I see your texts, and I'm going to read them, but let me say this, all right? Though the Prime Minister has his flaws, and they are significant, I do appreciate that there are things that are getting done that should have been done a long time ago. For instance, there was no reason that the dump should have continually been setting on fire, polluting people's homes. There was no reason that that should have lingered for years and years and years. And that has gotten done during this administration, despite all the warts and flaws. That has gotten done. There was no reason that we should not have upgraded our port facility in downtown Nassau for decades as we talked on and on and on about it. Yes, the former administration had plans for it, but you gotta put the plan in bloody motion. You can't just talk about it, and yeah, you're mad that they have a 20-year concession to run the port, and Anton continues to incorrectly claim that we gave away the port. You should own your ports, and other people should manage them. There's no reason this should have gone on and on and on. All right, so that is getting done. It's not because of the government that the central bank is getting a new building, but they don't stand in the way of these things. So give them the property. Move the juvenile court. All right? There's no reason that so much of these things should have just lingered for so long. Make it happen. And so I appreciate that it appears that he doesn't at least stand in the way of some things that clearly need to be getting done. All right? I appreciate that about the administration. I'm sick of sitting here in the Bahamas to keep talking about what we need to do and never getting it done. So to the extent that anything gets done, and it's not all on him, but the extent that anything gets done, I'm happy. Now, there's a lot of clout chasing about stuff that, having said that, there's a lot of clout chasing about stuff that's getting done now that should have been done. So you should have been built the airport in Exuma. Yes, the RAND should have been gotten an upgrade before Dorian. Yes, there are things like the Grand Bahama Airport that should have been squared away because they were negligent in their obligations to it beforehand. Now, if we're looking at in terms of Dorian and in terms of fixing what has been done in Abaco and Grand Bahama, and we always heard the pension that you can't do it overnight, but it's taking far too long. It's not being managed in an efficient process. You've switched disaster recovery ministers in, what was it, a year? You have a disaster recovery authority that, I'm sorry, is just not efficient. All right? It's taking too long. There are things that are taking too long. All the other political shenanigans and nonsense, we could talk about that too. But in terms of just basic management, some things are taking too long. But there are issues that plagued us that should have gotten done that are now getting done, and I'm happy to see it. This says, one, does the vaccine card give you discount on your airline ticket and discount on grocery and light bill and insurance? Please let me know. I don't know that it does. Says, yes, they have a vaccination card, and some states' cards have a QR code, like Florida. New York didn't have the QR code on their cards. It says, one handwritten piece of paper. One, CDC vax card looks even less legit than our yellow one. Jokes. The digital wristband with medical data coming soon. I should invest in that tech for certain. Says, LOL, who was it? Your boy Hanfield, who said I did the best I could? LOL, sad, man. They ain't stopped blaming the hurricanes yet. Unprecedented, LOL. Ah, my boy say Irma lost them a year. Irma, dude. Irma. Irma. All right, this says, one, I guarantee you nothing good will happen for education in our country. Until that BUT leader, Belinda Wilson, is gone, she's too decisive and argumentative. She's the problem, common denominator among all the different administrations. I think that Belinda Wilson's concerns are legitimate. Her call to close all the schools, I don't know if she's considered all the factors surrounding that from a parental and student point of view in terms of the disadvantages. Maybe she has. She didn't say that in the voice note she sent out, but I wouldn't say close the schools, no. Good day one. Dorian occurred in September 2019 and COVID in March 2020. Things like fixed election dates, setting term limits, and FOIA could have been things the PM hit the ground running with when they were elected in 2017. Lame excuses. Dorian was terrible, but there was Andrew, Floyd, Gene, Francis, Joaquin, Matthew, and Irma that other administrations had to deal with. Now, Irma was menace. This says, good afternoon, Juan. On your news station, PM menace is heard saying that his government only had 1 year to govern due to Hurricane Dorian and COVID, but the FNM won the government on the 10th of May, 2017. Dorian hit us on the 1st of September, 2019, and COVID in March, 2020. So the FNM had 28 months with no excuses. Now he want to take out the 10 weeks vacation in 2017 and 10 weeks in 2018 and 10 in 2019, a total of 30 weeks, or 7.5 months of vacation when they could say they had 18 months to, then they could say they had 18 months to deliver. I mean, the truth of the matter is this. You have 5 years to govern, whatever happens. And no one assume governments and going, well, it's all going to go perfectly, and if nothing happens, stuff happens, right? So Christie ain't had that many excuses, but let's look at Ingram, right? The last Ingram administration. Ingram gets into office, all right? The following year, there's a global financial collapse, right? Ingram didn't go, well, hell, we got to figure out if everything got to stop and deal with the catastrophe. No, you keep going, right? Ingram still got the road project done. We borrowed a bunch of money. It is what it is. I don't like it any more than you. Ingram did not raise your taxes to do so. All right? Things got done. He put in the money in place for the Sandy Bottom project. The Christie administration finished with that. You know, things get done. Stuff happens. We live in the hurricane belt. Every prime minister knows they can expect a hurricane. More likely than not. and you deal with it as best you can. Dorian is a different animal, but it wasn't an animal that should cripple the entire forward movement of the nation. Dorian, in fact, as bad as it was, as catastrophic as it was a chance that was just ripe for opportunity. And I think we moved too slowly in putting a lot of those things in place, and then the pandemic happened and you lost that momentum. So you play the hand you're dealt when you're in government. You don't get to get up from the table and quit playing unless you just want to call an election. If you're still at the table, you play the hand you're dealt. It says, hi, one. These will be the excuses. The fundamental legislation never happened between 2017 and 2019, of which he talks about to happen in the next term. Bye-bye. Dismal performance. It says, one, as an educator, I'm very concerned about this school closure issue. We will pay dearly as a nation for our lost months of educating our children formally. School closure is not the answer. School closure also unnecessarily burdens our half-cocked online structure, our working parents, and the well-being of some of our children who depend on lunch programs, remedial programs, and certain subjects that require direct contact. I also have a question for the Bahamas Union of Teachers. So there would be a lot of teachers who perhaps had comorbidities. Are teachers taking up the vaccination offer? Would teachers not feel more, or are they reluctant to get vaccinated, and therefore is the BUT encouraging teachers to get vaccinated, or are they taking a hands-off approach? Because if the teachers are vaccinated, they should not have that fear of catching COVID-19 through contact with students. So school closures also unnecessarily burden our half-cocked online structure, our working parents, and the well-being of some of our children who depend on lunch programs, remedial programs, and certain subjects that require direct contact. Yep. This says, general election was held on the 10th of May, 2017. Hurricane Dorian hit two islands. Tourists were coming to the other islands while government gave the NGOs more red tape. The world problems did not start until the Ides of March 2020. And in fact, even though Dorian hit Abaco and Grand Bahama hard, we still had record tourists. It says Dorian happened 3 months into the second year. Dorian happened 3 months into the second year. Did we all learn how to count the same way? Do we count calendar years? How do we count calendar years? Does the first year now start in the second year to you guys? May 2017 to May 2018 is 1 year. That's the first year. Yeah? I ain't crazy, right? May 2018 to May 2019 is the second year. The third year began on May 2019. I ain't drinking, right? So Dorian hit 3.5 years into the first, into the Menace administration. Let's just step into reality, is all I say. Let's all have a conversation based on reality. And that way we can have an informed conversation. All right? So stop saying that. Stop saying Dorian happened in the second year. That's not the case. It says, Iwan, this is my take on the PM excuses of Dorian and COVID. Let's say you work at a hotel and someone forget a banquet function of 1,000 people. As a professional chef, what do? Say this never happened before, or do you rise above and challenge yourself and your team? Instead, they took the easy way out. This never happened before. Laughable. What I'm concerned about, right, is that you're leaning too heavily on missteps. You're leaning too heavily on the crutch of it never happened before for missteps that should not have happened. All right? And that's my issue. We can all sit down and agree that we've never in our lifetime seen a hurricane the size of Dorian before. We can agree. But that does not excuse the missteps that follow You give an excuse. There's no playbook for it. Well, there certainly could have been a more effective way of going about this. No, we haven't dealt with a pandemic in a century. But that doesn't excuse some of the missteps that followed that were not logically thought through. All right, so we can all acknowledge, some of us are living in a place where we can acknowledge which calendar year things occurred in, but we can all acknowledge that these were unprecedented events, but what we want is an unprecedented response in leadership. All right, let's go to the news break. We'll be back. You can call too, you know. It's up to you. Stay tuned.
An outstanding real property tax bill? Take advantage of our real property tax forgiveness program. Bring your account to zero and receive a 50% discount on your outstanding tax and surcharge past 180 days. Or get a payment plan. Make a 25% deposit on your outstanding tax, receive a 100% waiver on the surcharge, and pay the difference within 36 months, interest-free. Contact the Department of Inland Revenue at 225-5778 or email us at rptforgive@bahamas.gov.bs. Offer ends May 31st.
Tired of banks forcing you to use technology to bank the way they want you to? Your convenience is important. So no matter what your banking needs, Commonwealth Bank's friendly staff are always available in branch for that personal one-on-one service. But when you choose technology, our online and mobile banking app offers you state-of-the-art functionality. The choice is yours. Commonwealth Bank. Bank the way you want.
Everyone should experience a brand new car, but not everyone can afford one. Until now, Bahamas Bus and Truck has the answer. The stylish, spacious, feature-rich, yet affordable Mitsubishi Attrage. Priced at $21,900, including a three-year warranty, why not come and experience the value that Mitsubishi has built into the Attrage today? Bahamas Bus and Truck, the country's only authorized Mitsubishi dealer. Telephone 322-1722.
Sourdough King is back at Burger King Nassau. This fan favorite features 2 quarter-pound savory flame-grilled beef patties topped with thick-cut smoked bacon, 4 slices of melted American cheese, ketchup, and creamy mayonnaise, all on toasted sourdough slices. Get your sourdough sandwich as a single or a double and add ice-cold Pepsi and fries or onion rings for a perfect way to fill your day. The flame-grilled Sourdough King is only here for a limited time and only available at Burger King Nassau, where taste is king.
Hello, sir. Your credit card bill is due. Hello, sir. It's time for your monthly loan payment. Tired of creditors pounding at your door? Sign up for a debt consolidation loan from Fidelity Bank and consolidate your debt into one low monthly payment. What's more, you will also earn interest on a built-in savings account. The pandemic has curbed many freedoms, but at Fidelity, our focus is to help regain your financial freedom. Visit a branch or speak to Fidelity Bank at 356-7764. COVID safety measures in place at all branches. Fidelity, we're good for you.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to The Revolution here on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. My name is Juan McCartney. We're talking about the first 4 years of the Minnis administration. And we're all cognizant that we're in the fifth year, yes? We're all on the same temporal plane of reality together, right? This is the fifth year of the Minnis administration. Okay? We can all agree on that, yes? The fifth year started May 10th, just so we're all clear. By the way, since we have so much talk about hurricanes, I do want to remind you the hurricane season is coming up. And you never know what's going to happen. So be sure to prepare yourself. At least get yourself, remember anyway, to get your insurance up to date with your house and with your belongings. You want to make sure that if anything does happen, that you have some protection afterward to the extent that you can. All right. You can also call us and share your views of the Minnis administration's first 4 years in terms of what they have done or not done or however you feel about it. 323-6232, 325-4316, and 325-4259. The text line is 422-4796, 422-4796. It says, yes, if you're given the vaccine in the U.S., you're given a card with dates of shot and batch number of vial. Oh, okay. It says, no one, you're wrong. Diagler bragged about 2018 and 2019 of record tourism numbers. No, no, dude. No. Diagler was straight up bragging about tourism numbers in 2017, buddy. You should go check the record. And he bragged in 2018, and he bragged in 2019. He, in fact, was just short of doing cartwheels in 2019. And I would, too. 7 million people. Hey, great. Now, you're saying, Minnis says he inherited a disastrous economy. Baja Mar had opened. It contributed to GDP, solid GDP growth. It added, ultimately, 5,000 jobs to the... I don't understand why he would say that. Man one, be easy on the man. I believe the PM's doing his best. We as Bahamians like to be critical, and nothing's wrong with that, but we need to be sensible with it. Now, if Minnis them didn't assist the people during the pandemic or did their job, then fire them. He deserves another term. That's fair enough. That's your assessment, that he deserves another term. That's fair enough. And there is something to be said, an argument to be made, that the inconsistency of governance, now you can make the argument the other way as well, the non-continuity of administrations over the past 20 years or so has been detrimental. All right? So perhaps if Christie would have had two consecutive terms, he would have, you know, gotten his act together. Then there's the argument to be made that, well, if we give him another term, it's going to be more shenanigans. And then he did give him another term, and there were more shenanigans. The thing that he said, well, if Ingram was given a fourth term or a second consecutive term, then after his last one, then maybe he would have gotten even more done. And we would have seen even more progress, et cetera. But we didn't go that way. We went the other way. So there's an argument to be made to say that, well, do you keep kicking them out? Are they that bad? And there's the other argument to say, well, are we going to leave them in? Do we want more of what we perceive to not be the most effective governance? Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution.
Hey, David, hey, brother Magani.
Hey, right here. How's it going?
Everything good, man. Listen, I know you're talking about the Prime Minister and what he's done in the last 4 years, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I hope, I just want to share something to you for a minute.
Go ahead.
What is very important, though. One, you ever been by the Lazaretta on Lazaretta Road?
Yeah, I've been there before.
Oh, okay, you've been there before.
Mm-hmm.
You ever been by the St. John's Divine All Saints Camp?
Yes.
Okay. You've been there in the day, right?
I've been there before. I haven't been there recently.
I mean, you ever been, when you've been there, you was in the daytime, right?
Yes.
Okay, well, listen, I've been living up there for 14 years now, right?
Wow.
And for my been up there, that whole road, Lazaretta Road,
mm-hmm.
that is be pitch black in the night. No light on that road.
No lights work or no lights exist? No lights work or no lights exist?
No lights on the road.
Oh, okay. Wow. I didn't know that. I didn't realize that.
If you say you've been up there, you see that's a two-way. But you see the size of the road?
Mm-hmm.
Only one car could drive through there.
Right.
But that's a two-way.
Right.
And that's a busy road.
Yeah.
Right?
I didn't realize
that. And then another thing was, I really want to share something concerning the All Saints.
Mm-hmm.
There's no light in that place. We have a bunch of children living there. Family, mothers, right? Young families, young mothers, live up in that place. When night comes, around 7:30, we have a food store on the end of the corner. People got to go down there to the shop. But you have young girls, and you get fellas there, down there be harassing people.
Really?
But okay. You can't see nothing when night falls.
The camp has electricity, though.
They have electricity.
Right.
They don't have no light.
I see. You have to walk in darkness. I get it.
Light up the place. They got a road that's light up.
That is a concern, yes.
Huh?
I say that is a concern, yeah.
Yeah, man. And I talked to Warren Miller about it, but he was trying to do something about it when he first came in.
Mm-hmm.
But after they kick him out, he said the people them, ain't nobody waking with him now. After they sit him down.
Try Brian Brown, man.
But I don't know that fella, man.
Okay.
I don't know that fella. Warren is my boy.
I got gotcha.
Warren Miller is my boy.
Yeah, right, well,
but yeah. What I'm saying is, right? And Desmond Bannister,
mm-hmm.
Deputy Prime Minister.
Yeah.
And that's his portfolio, though.
Works, yeah.
To make sure light on the street.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
On government road.
Yes.
So, I mean, I you can't just shoot that by them or see how best you could at the situation out for us.
I'm going to try to run it up the chain for you, my brother.
Okay, thanks a lot, man.
All right, no problem.
God
be well.
Bless.
You too. Good afternoon. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution. Hello. Good afternoon.
How you doing?
I'm fine. How are you?
Awesome. Big brother, don't forget now. In 2017, we had Hurricane Irma, and over 54,000, almost 55,000 Bahamians were positively helped by the government during that time. They did have some major setbacks that could prop them up. Prop them meaning prop us who voted for this government, because you're either a government supporter or an opposition supporter. Either way, you are a Bahamian. You are entitled to your views. But what I'm saying is, what must be on the record is, to my prime minister, I say, there are things that could prop you up. But at the end of the day, the average citizen still need your help. We still have about a year or so to go, all right? Just under a year or so, all right? And so there are things that we have said over the 4 years of your reign, what could positively impact this country on a national level, and consequently on an individual level as relates to small businesses and, individually speaking, those who will be employed. So certain things could only prop you up just for a time. You know, consider people's time that they're putting into what you're saying, what politicians are saying.
Okay. All right. Appreciate it, my brother. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution.
Hello, good afternoon, my brother. How you doing, Juan?
I'm great. How's it going?
Everything is cool, thanks. You know, he who feels it knows it, right?
Yes, sir.
Right. So when Dorian went down, I think the response of the government was pathetic, right?
Mm-hmm.
I speak of what I know. So I went to Abaco. I managed to help save a friend of mine's life. I went there on a helicopter and ran to go get him and ran back. Then they opened the Marsh Harbor landing strip, and then they closed it again. And I made it a point to personally go from Odyssey Aviation to NEMA to find out exactly why it was closed and what help they needed to reopen it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So while I was there, the Minister of National Security, Marvin Dame, you know what he was doing?
What?
He was standing outside eating an apple.
Man got to eat?
Would you not, let's put it like this. I didn't eat, yeah? I put it as a priority to help other people and volunteer in Odyssey Aviation and whatnot.
Right, he wasn't trying to eat apples.
Casually, I asked him, when I landed in Marsh Harbor, you're there, right?
I'm here.
Yeah, when I landed in Marsh Harbor, I told the Defense Force commander that what my intentions were, and I pointed to where I had to go. He said, if you hear back from any of these two officers, and he gave me their two names, they're in Foxtown, and we haven't heard from them in 3 days, right?
Mm-hmm.
So when I came back and I said to Marvin James, your guys, we need satellite radio phones. He said he could reach any of his officers at any time. That's not a problem. So if you're not going to admit that there's even a problem, how can you expect somebody to fix it?
Right, exactly, yeah.
Right? And who was leaning up against the wall with his hands behind his back at the same time Marvin was out there eating an apple?
No.
Commissioner of Police. You need to form a war room, and next hurricane go around, and instead of me complaining about it, I'm going to make a difference by stepping up to the plate and stepping into the place of being like a hurricane coordinator and trying to help these poor, desperate people. You're right, Ragged Island, look what they did. They went and gave an expatriate company the contract for the solar power down there and had Bahamians laying the concrete, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And that still isn't up and running.
No, it ain't. But you know what disaster Minnis failed to recognize in his report, including Irma, Dorian, and COVID?
What's that?
The Minnis administration, complete disaster.
the administration itself.
Yeah, man, but led by him. I'm not knocking the whole F&M. I'm not knocking every minister. But the Minnis-led administration.
I gotcha. Thanks, Toby. Appreciate it. I asked for your assessment, so go ahead. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution.
Thank you. Hello?
Yes, hello.
Hi, Juan. How you doing?
I'm fine. How are you?
Oh, wonderful. I don't know what the cry... What's the cry all about, the Dr. Minnis?
I'm sorry.
Like the cry all about it. I had COVID. I had Doreen. You know, you have to be able to face these things and then come to plan A.
Agreed.
Because Turks and Caicos, their election, even though their government, their then government, tried to use COVID, the voters wasn't buying that.
Agreed.
And there were many economists over here. Even though the country was facing all of this, they saw some things which the government should have done. And then you have D'Aguilar. And I should say, thank God for Bahama, who put heads in bed, who brought the tourists here, who caused him to enjoy as the Minister of Tourism. He's the main one in opposition who was wishing Bahama fail. In fact, the government said they were going to get a new buyer. I'm just saying, like, you called both Prime Minister Hubert Ingram and Perry Christie. No, Doreen may not have been, like, you know, underneath the hawk, and they went under.
But hurricanes do occur. And
that's
my point. They do occur.
I went into COVID. I went into hello?
And the Minnis administration, the Free National Movement in opposition to... the last Christie administration, when they missed the fiscal targets because of the impact of Matthew, they didn't let them get away with it.
No, but they call it mismanaged the whole economy. That's what they said. They didn't, because of the hurricane that caused the revenue to drop or whatever, they said the Progressive Liberal Party, in all the 5 years, mismanaged the economy.
Because unlike Irma, that had caused all the ports in Nassau to close. And so that was a problem economically, financially. Although there was a lot of other crazy stuff with Christina.
I yet to hear all this committee form, economic committee, by the Prime Minister with this COVID. Did you hear any suggestion being had or implemented?
I heard a couple, yeah. I had a couple.
Just a couple?
Yeah, several. Not nothing major. Several. Yeah.
That's my point.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution. Hello. Good afternoon. Are you there? Okay. Let's put this. Can we get the caller? Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution.
Golly, did you know it's along with you, Juan?
Hey, how's it going?
I'm right here, thank God.
Mm-hmm.
Let me ask you something. The brother would call from Lazaretta.
Mm-hmm.
He wants light on the street. That's what his
That's what it sounds like, yeah.
Well, the thing is, that's the responsibility of Bannister.
Yes.
That's what you call infrastructure. So light should be on the street.
Yes.
But what I want to say, right? The Prime Minister and Marvin Dames have to do, they got to get Central Police Station in order, because the amount of time people got to be calling the police around here in Spence Street and nothing are happening, that's wasting gas. You understand? Wasting gas and time. Central need a rerun.
Okay.
So things could happen. You know, the police are supposed to stop crime, and that's the way, you know what I'm saying? They supposed to make sure that peace be in the area. You see my point?
At Central Police Station.
Right.
Central Police Station downtown.
Right.
Okay.
All right, thank you.
All righty. Thanks so much. I don't understand. There's not peace downtown. What's the issue with Central? Good afternoon. Downtown's usually crawling with cops. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution.
Hey, good afternoon, Juan. How you doing?
Hey, Anton. What's happening, my brother?
Everything cool, man.
All right.
Man, look here. That was Toby you were talking to?
Yeah, who?
Was that Toby you were talking to?
Yes, that was Toby, yes.
Toby had it right. I said it to you a couple of years ago, Juan. The worst hurricane, the worst pandemic that we have experienced in this country is this FNM government led by Yuba Menes. The worst of the worst one. You know, question about that. And as a matter of fact, one, in his recent pronouncement, with his statement trying to use his failures as a crutch, his mismanagement, his incompetence, his ineptness as an excuse as to why he couldn't accomplish, all he did, one, was confirm why he should never step in the halls of Parliament again, because he is not up to the standard. He could not be relied upon when the Bahamian people need him most. He does not know how to deliver. He does not have any vision, and he does not know how to get this country's economy back on track again. He does not have the vision nor the plans, and he does not have the competence as the Minister of Finance or as the Minister without portfolio in any of those capacities to do what is necessary to steer this ship back to shore. We are operating like a rudderless ship. As my leader always say, the FNM is a rudderless ship out to sea, and we need to vote them out. PIP! On the way! Thank you.
Okay, I'm done. I'll say this, and then we'll take the call. I'll say this. This is my free advice for the FNM, who, by the way, has not yet run me my check for using my rant after the last Christie administration lost as some sort of promotion for their party. But I will say this, Free National Movement, free advice, one time only. You're going to have to find a message that conveys what you have accomplished as opposed to why you have not gotten certain things done. Because the average person who really has been impacted hardcore by the pandemic, by Dorian, they don't care that it was hard for you to manage. It matters not to them. All right. So your argument should never be, well, here's why I didn't do what I said I would do. Explain what it is that you did do and why those were your priorities. The argument cannot be, well, y'all ain't want brave, eh? Because that was the argument before with the FNM and Christie. And the Bahamian people went, yeah, we do. We do want Christie again. So find a message that touts your accomplishment as opposed to this tired messaging that worked for you in the last election about how bad the PLP was. And also this message that sounds like you're whining, all right, about why you can't get things done. Because it's no logical, sensible argument that you couldn't get local government done, you couldn't get term limits done and finance reform done because of the pandemic or because of Dorian. It makes no sense to people. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution.
Juan McCartney, how are you today, man?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm fine, thanks. Juan, do you remember almost 2 years ago, $15 million was allotted for the cleanup in Abaco?
Mm-hmm.
What happened to the cleanup has completed now?
They kind of put it all in one place. It's I don't know where it's supposed to go.
But Ron, listen, if Prime Minister Hugo Alexander Menes, if he had allowed Mr. Christie and Mr. Ingram to help him along, he could have had someone to blame something on, huh?
They could have helped him, you know.
Yes, sir. I think they would have. I think we would have been in a much better position than we are in today. And another thing is, you know, if this prime minister and this cabinet has truly, truly, sincerely looked out for the Bahamian people during this pandemic and during Doreen, it doesn't matter what any other party would have done, it would have still been voted back in. But the way they treated the Bahamian people during the pandemic and the way they treated those poisons in Abaco and Grand Bahama during Doreen, because, you know, I can tell you, I've been out there several mornings, 3 o'clock in the morning with Mr. Davis to pick those people up from the boat, make sure those some of those poisons had places to stay. You realize Mr. Davis took care of some of those poisons for over a year plus? I mean, actually put them up in places to stay, paid their rent, gave them clothes to eat, and gave them food every day. So this is facts, and you could go and investigate it for yourself. You can ask him that yourself, and he can tell you. That is facts, okay?
Okay.
Have a nice day, man.
Thanks a lot. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution.
Good afternoon, Juan. Great show.
Thank you.
Juan, we need to find out who gave him that apple. Because I do remember a Bible story about this apple. Be careful eating. And maybe the apple is something that calms your spirit when you're facing, you know, that kind of level of catastrophe. So it might be, you know, something that somebody should consider doing when the storm is coming. Just sit back and eat an apple and it will probably disappear. But no, just a stupid joke, one. I'm wondering, is there any legal action that could be taken since the prime minister claimed that he did not do his job? I mean, could we find a way to...
Legal? Yeah, we got a legal remedy, yeah.
Well, no, I don't mean that one.
That's we got a real easy legal process to fix that.
No. Well, you see, I used to know of a gynecologist. My wife was in labor. She was breech. And because, you know, we call him, he had these little beeper things. We call him. And I was standing at the door when he showed up, and he was asking the nurses, why y'all interrupt my jogging? But the man don't care, man. Thanks for taking my call.
Okay. Why y'all interrupt my jogging? Sounds like grade A husband material. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution.
How's it going, Juan Bagardi?
How's it going?
Man, like, I wish it could be better, but thank God for what's left.
Right. You know, absolutely.
You asked me to describe the climate that I now live under in this great little archipelago. Well, I thank God for what's there, but I want to speak from a carnal mind, you know, because it's awkward. Lackadaisical, unproductive, okay? This administration, yes, I believe that they have tried their best, you know, but this is the best that we can get from them.
This is the best they're capable of, right?
Yeah, exactly. There's nothing more they can give us, okay? They are short on ideas, okay? Mr. Minister, as a cabinet minister, was not productive, you know. As an opposition leader, he was not productive either. Okay, so here he is in government. What he's doing is waiting out his time. Okay, and one more thing before I hang up. From June to now is 9 months. That's long enough to give birth to a child. Okay, he has borrowed $2.5 billion. Please, man, Mr. McCartney, please explain to me what this man do with our money, man. Okay, or plan to do. I ain't no plan yet. I'll hang up and listen.
All right, fair enough. We'll go through, actually, the budget numbers another day, because the budget communication will be coming out toward the end of this month, and we'll try to look at where we are. The fiscal snapshot, it was interesting, but it didn't tell me anything that I didn't already know. There are troubling indicators in it, but I was already troubled by previous indicators, so, you know, I didn't find it to be anything surprising. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution.
Good afternoon, Warren.
How's it going?
Yes, I think Minnick made a big mistake when he refused Christie and gave Minnick Christie and Ingram help from doing the Hurricane Fund. But them billionaires would give millions Louis Bacon only gave $1 million, but Louis Bacon went $15 billion. I think he missed the opportunity. And I don't like how Deagler, right, doing that.
Hello?
We cannot use that money to help us even if we need to. He should have it put it in a referendum if we have to spend the money. He tie our hands. He's the prime minister. Even with the commission, even with the freedom of the commissioner, he didn't even know about this. They're about to cut off him. Minister even know what kind of better did.
Yeah, the freedom of information thing, that seems like
the rules.
A checklist type thing. It's not going to be impactful. It's
the minister wants to consult with Brave Davis to pick the commissioner. They didn't do it. Can't pick the commissioner. Can't pick the man. And then the commissioner wants to pick his deputy. That's a fraud thing right there.
Okay. All righty. Okay. Good afternoon. Good afternoon. Welcome.
Hey, good day. How you doing?
To the revolution. Good. I'm good. How's it going?
All right, Warren. Warren, I remember. I guess Warren mentioned this. I remember during the pandemic and also the Dorian. I remember you and a lot of other people personally. I mean, even I contribute a little bit, but I don't see that as me or anybody as qualifying to run the government because we help those people in need. I mean, people, I know they can use that for their brownie points, but I don't see that, you know, that you could beat up their chest to say, okay, now I should run the government because I help people out at a time of need. And then also, I look at it like this. If I'm in a house with leaking and another house with all the utilities breaking, I got an option to go between either house. Sometimes I might, I want to stay here. I mean, I ain't saying that's the decision. Which it should make, but you got to really weigh your options because you understand. I don't really see no difference. I don't see no improvement on the opposition or I don't know. I right at this point,
right.
And then I really want the independent step up, but I ain't seeing that. I don't know what to do right now. I don't know. Y'all got to help me, man. But yeah. Once again, we'll make that show back.
All right. Thanks. Yeah, it's I believe you should participate in the democracy. I believe you should vote. You're going to have to find your reason why. And we had a show about that before. And some people say that they just don't feel as though it matters or they don't want to participate. And I'm of the opposite view. But I'm not saying that there's such a great tableau of options laid out before us. I'll tell you one thing, though, about this pandemic, and I'm reluctant to talk about it, but I had to... In order to get past many of the decisions and the outcomes that I saw due to these emergency orders and this pandemic, I have had to and continue to supplicate myself before my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in order to have the grace and patience to have looked past what men allowed to happen to other men in terms of mankind and our fellow Bahamians. So I continue struggling with that, and I've tried very hard to look past all of that and not let that itself, although it, by all rights and intents, could color my complete judgment of those in administration. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution.
One.
Hello.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm great. How are you?
All right, yeah. Let me ask you something. I this is the first time I can ask a question. I know the answer, but I can ask the question.
Sure.
I hear a couple of people say, well, you know, if Minister let Christie and Hubert Ingram help him along, he probably would have been in a better position. I hear a couple of callers say that. Let me ask you something. What does Centerville look like now, after 40 years?
Mm-hmm. Huh? Not great, but let's...
No, don't say not great, because I'm older than you. I'm 63.
Mm-hmm.
And believe me, Centerville is the same place. What I know, ain't nothing changed. Okay? What Anderson look like? From I was a baby, growing up through Third Street, it's the same situation. So this thing about somebody helping, yes, Ingram might have did something for Abaco. I see that. But guess what? Ingram had his own agenda too. But Perry wasn't doing nothing for nobody. He lost the election because he say he didn't do nothing for Angus. I mean for Centerville.
Okay.
And I hear you. I somebody just sent me something with you, and I listened to it a while ago with you telling the PLP, and I surprised to see all of them PLP right there again. They trying to get back in again.
Yeah, I want my check. I want F&M send me money.
Man, if I had some money, I really would have sent you something. You know why? Because you were speaking the truth.
I was. And, the last administration had issues.
Uh-huh.
They had deep-seated issues, and there was a lot of mismanagement going on and squandered opportunities.
Right, and I even tell a friend, I said F&M, I think he can do the F&M one too.
Yeah, well,
you was passionate.
Yeah,
we
can see.
But anyway, you do well, bro.
All right, thanks.
All right.
Yeah. We shall see. Good afternoon. Welcome to the. Actually, let's take a break, and then we'll do the stuff. Or we take this call. Let's take this call. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution.
McCartney, how you doing?
I'm fine. How are you?
Yeah, I have a little problem. I was watching for a long time for the school kids who go to school on all the stations in the country here. They only had the bicycles downtown. I think that all of the stations that have bicycles and they should be riding through the community to see that everybody have a mask, who going to school, who not going to school. They need to put those bicycles back on the street with the police.
Yep. True.
That need to happen. That need to come back.
I agree. Yeah, more police presence. I agree. All right, stay the break. We'll be back.
In life, there are always challenges. Today, we find ourselves having to be more self-sufficient, socially aware, and technically savvy. At J.S. Johnson, we are committed to our customers by providing cost-effective insurance solutions. No matter what your insurance needs, we will always be here for you. Call 397-2100 or visit jsjohnson.com. J.S. Johnson Insurance Agents and Brokers, giving you peace of mind.
At Bahamas Bus and Truck Company Limited, we provide vehicles known for quality and durability. From the iconic Jeep Wrangler to the award-winning Grand Cherokee, we've got your everyday driver covered. For larger tasks, our Ram 1500, Mitsubishi Fuso Canter Trucks, CMC Verica Vans, and Fuso Rosa Jitneys do way more than just deliver. We even carry a wide variety of pre-owned vehicles. To keep you going, our parts, service department, and body shop can accommodate our brands and others. Call us today at 322-1722 or email info@bahamasbus.com.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, quality.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the revolution here on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Let's take one more call, then we'll do text messages. I think we've gotten a good grasp of where certain callers are. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution.
Hey, Juan.
Hey, how's it going?
But maybe just 30 seconds later, I want to address that last call.
Okay.
With one bit of the misinformation that he claimed about Perry Christie. He said that 40 years ago, Centerville was the same, and it's the same today. That's a lie from the pit. In addition to that, as the Prime Minister of this country, in Perry Christie's first term as Prime Minister, 2002 to 2007, he built over 4,000 homes in this country, one. No prime minister before nor after him has built that many homes around this country as that in one single term. In addition to that, he has a record of around 6,000 homes in this country while he was prime minister. And so he was busy expanding more middle-class communities like Centerville around the Bahamas. Y'all stop calling us airwaves, talking nonsense. Y'all, God bless one.
Okay, Anton, no problem. About that, and not to dwell on that, does Centerville look any different today than it did in May 2017? Does Englishton look any different today than it did in May? Does Over the Hill, aside from the Southern Recreation Ground, despite the Over the Hill initiative, look any different today than it did in 2017? I'm so confused by these comparisons. Not to say that, you know, more couldn't have been done for Centerville, but what is the difference now, is my question. But I will say this. It is a crying shame that the FNM has become an organization where the input of Hubert Ingraham is no longer welcomed and often met with derision, as if Ingraham was not the one who took the FNM to victory several times and led an administration that contributed to significant change and progress in the Bahamas. I think it's a crying shame. And the current prime minister would have been served well by Perry Christie's compassion for people and drive to help people. And it would have been served well by former Prime Minister Ingraham's organizational talents, as well as his experiential knowledge. Like when he advised you not to buy the Grand Lucayan Hotel, wisely so, but yet you did anyway. Shame that you've come to this. Let's go to our text messages. Let's do as many as we can. Says the issue was his government was too hasty in stomping down the national debt. A good thing in my view. However, there was no leeway left for catastrophic issues like Dorian and COVID-19. Hence the current situation, all the eggs in one basket without foresight for future issues. Yeah, when you're planning these aggressive things, you got to plan in shocks as well. You got to game it out. It says, hi, Juan. So the PM is saying the FNM can only succeed if they come into power with a well-functioning economy with no disasters during their term. This is hilarious. They lost 4 years blaming the PLP for what's happening now. The math got to them. All will be done if we have no extenuating circumstances. Good afternoon, sir. I think those two jabs got the good doctor delusional. This says, good day. Minnis has a huge cabinet and government. He's being disingenuous about not being able to tackle multiple things at the same time. That's what I'm trying to figure out. Like, is it him one? Or does the central government employ thousands of people in order to complete tasks around the Bahamas on an everyday basis? Juan Minnis inherited an economy that was coming back from the VAT. Things were finally getting better. What did the FNM do? Increase it by 60%. Big mistake. Yeah, I thought that was a mistake, too. One, you have to read that press release slowly. The key words are the first 3 years were about, quote, destruction, not, quote, dealing with natural disasters. Excellent analysis. We can run after the former administration with successive fail cases, but can't deal with term limits. Yep. Great show as usual. To say that Minnis did absolutely nothing in 4 years is absurd. Now, to say that they did not do a good job or to say he made a lot of stupid or half-baked decisions is another thing. And I think those dumb fires were intentionally set for overtime pay. That's just my 5 cents. Overtime pay. That's a new one. I haven't heard that. It says, based on the prime minister's speech, you get the impression that he was not aware of the country or region for which he was running for leadership. Hearing excuses from the leader, wow, if it was not so tragic, it would be hilarious. If I were the FNM, my message, I would craft a message of in spite of, right? So in spite of these challenges, here's what we still did. In spite of not, we had challenges, hell, what do you expect? Ain't nothing, it can get done. I would say in spite of, we did X, Y, Z. That'd be me, but y'all don't want to pay me for that type of advice, so I'm going to keep it to myself. Where are the public schools as it relates to preparations for end-of-term examinations? She talking crazy about predicted grades when she know they do not have the systems in place to do predicted grades properly. Oh, Wilson, you mean. Greetings, Juan. The union is hands-off on this one. We educators are not taking the vaccine. Come on, Juan. We are the smartest people in the country. Juan, you heard the vaccine doesn't stop COVID or transmission. Man, there's growing evidence that these vaccines do prevent infection and stop transmission. As the science is coming out. All right. Juan, the amount of money this administration borrowed upon coming to office and with an increase in that is more than enough money to take care of the economy after Dorian and the pandemic. It's just bad management. You have stuff rotting down, which was donated by international communities. If this was a four-year election country, there would be no confusion as to how years work, LOL. Because y'all have me confused about how years actually work. Because they said Dorian was year two. So when did year one start? No? Yeah, well, you had like a little grace period. We ain't count twice, y'all. We ain't count. But you say Irma was year one, how the hell do I get them year two? We skipped a whole year and put Dorian in a different space and time. It says very little teaching going on because the disruptions are so frequent. Okay, very little teaching is going on because the disruptions are so frequent with the COVID. Okay. Since vaccination for teachers is their personal choice, many schools are not functioning as many teachers and students are in quarantine, and schools are shutting down almost daily by 12 noon. Okay, well, then that's better information than we had from Belinda Wilson last night. I did ask Marcellus Taylor for a response. He did not respond to me, not up to this morning anyway. Juan, we hire a handyman to deal with small problems. We hire a prime minister to deal with big problems. That's right. The prime minister deals with big problems. Big problems, right? You don't run for prime minister. You'd be like, well, Jesus, something happened. What you want me to do then? Not if you, well, then nothing could, you know what I mean? That's your job. They're looking to you. You know? Blessings, the government under PM Dr. Minnis fiddled much time away by banging on the tables and being vindictive, heckling others when they were making their contributions, and now it's sickening that the government has turned the Bahamas into a 10 p.m. country, and this is not a good thing. In a way, I am glad former PM Ingram stepped away when he did. He didn't give the government no time to waste and heckle him. I hope others take note. The lesson is there to be learned. This says, boy, Dorian and COVID didn't stop this administration from drafting and passing the Commercial Enterprises Bill in a flash. Yeah, nor the fishing legislation, nor any number of other things. I don't see how you blame Dorian and COVID for a lack of legislative movement. I really don't understand. Bahamians, the money in NIB is your money. The government did not do you any favors. Agreed, the money is your money. Juan Minnis said he's doing well, so what we have now is the best we can expect. I can only assume if he said he did poorly, there would be fire and brimstone. This is, what is Amos talking about? An average citizen just called and made it clear that the government don't care for all people, only those whose MPs are in good standing with their party. It says, I am a hardcore PLP, but Anton is a turnoff. It says, my friend Juan, tell Anton the worst of the worst is Perry Christie. How much is he paid to talk nonsense? Sounds like a child, and I don't care for the PLP or FNM or DNA. Sounds so stupid. PLP does nothing wrong. The people don't want Brave. He's no leader. It says, they found time to tamper with the labor laws, though. Hashtag next time is your time. It says, FNM slogan 2022. I did my best. Says, Juan, why are people acting like the government given more than anyone to public assistance was out of the goodness of their heart? They were forced to do so because everything was shut down during the pandemic. that's not something that they can take credit for in a sensible argument. I mean, I wouldn't say that they deserve no credit for doing that. You did not have to do that, but what they did certainly was not novel, all right? That it wasn't like that was some stroke of genius on your part. That was world governments were doing it. And further to that, you unilaterally shut businesses down. So you must be good to figure out how these people are supposed to eat. And you tell them they can't leave their house and they can't go to work. It says, I remember Ingram told us before, if we voted for the PLP, their old guards are just in the bushes waiting. I believe the same. If Brave is voted in, keep them out. Yeah, I don't know. That's an effective argument to win a national election. It says, arrogance and ignorance will be the downfall of this administration. It says, hi, Juan, the FNM and PLP don't execute their plans within the term, then get mad when the next party throws the plans out. Both parties start working 6 months before the election, then say, vote me back in to finish. Hell no, can't do it in 5 years, you won't do it in 10. Good afternoon, Juan. I really feel concerned for Anton. His rabid adoration and defense of his party is really amazing to experience. What will be his state should his party lose? Okay. It says, Irma was year one, months after the government was elected. Pandemic was year three. We are now in year four. Yeah, I mean, I know I can tell what day and month and year it is. Some of you, and apparently the prime minister, has some difficulty with that. It says, one, minutes make Perry look like a choir boy, but I don't support Davis either. Okay. All right, that's it. We're out of time. So I guess I don't know what your assessment is of the past 4 years. Some of you think that more should have been done, and you're not letting them off the hook with the pandemic and with the hurricane. Irma, I can't study you about Irma or this disastrous economy you supposedly inherited. I don't agree with that. Anyway, we got to go. We'll be back tomorrow. I'm going to try my best to do this living wage breakdown so that we can have a discussion where we hopefully learn something as opposed to just critique something. All right? So you guys take care out there and have a great day, Bahamas.